That's very, very important to creating what's called a digital safety net for the clinician. So that allows the clinician to stop being a typist.
Hi, I'm Marianne Bohr with HIMSS. Today I'm joined by Christopher Larkin, Chief Technology Officer at Concord Technologies, and Andre Sublett, Senior Vice President of Data and Analytics at Concord Technologies. Chris has built an impressive track record of developing precision medicine solutions in healthcare and life sciences for Microsoft, GE Healthcare, and Elsevier. He successfully brought multiple cognitive computing products for healthcare to market and is widely recognized as a thought leader in an industry challenged by interoperability. Prior to his position at Concord Technologies, Andre served as Vice President of Software Engineering for GE Healthcare's digital organization. There, he managed almost a petabyte of protected healthcare data, de-identified it, enhanced it, and drove the launch of several new products and services that leverage the data. In today's episode, we'll be exploring AI's technological tipping point and offering listeners advice on how healthcare leaders can orient themselves during an unprecedented time of technology advancement, identify proven and practical solutions to support care teams today. But before we start, I want to say thank you to Concord Technologies for sponsoring this podcast. Chris, Andre, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah, nice to be here, Marianne. Thank you.
Now, Chris, of course, many large-scale advancements like the Industrial Revolution and the dot-com explosion occur when profoundly impactful technology becomes commercially relevant. Now, do you think we're at a similar point with healthcare technology right now with AI in 2023?
I do very much so. If we compare it to both within healthcare and other industries, it's this place where a technological advancement meets a real need. And I'll give you an example. In the airline industry, about two decades ago, we had an explosion of sensors. For example, a jet engine used to have about seven or eight sensors telling the wind speed and the amount of fuel that it had in a jet engine. Very important stuff. But now we have about 200 or 300 sensors in any one, maybe even 1,000 in the more advanced jet engines. And what that did is all that data said that a pilot could either fly the plane or become a computer scientist. Well, I want my pilots flying the plane. And so from that standpoint, there was this need for a new generation of avionics, one that used artificial intelligence to be able to predict when a jet engine may be experiencing a little bit of, or just needed maintenance, or maybe experiencing a little bit of trouble. So when we look to healthcare now, and healthcare, for example, in pathology, we had a pathologist trying to find one anomalous cell, one cell that didn't look right in a sea of 200, 300, 400,000 cells. Very difficult for the human to do. That's why pathologists were under stress to see more and more patients, do more and more samples, and try to find that needle in a haystack. Well, as it turns out, computers are really good at that. And as we further bring that forward, then right now we're in a situation where we've got a clinician who has too many patients, who has too much data, too much information that's not brought to them together so that they can make proper decisions. So we find ourselves at that point where technology, AI, is meeting a need, stressed out clinical administrators and stressed out physicians who have too many patients, too much data, and not enough high quality decisions. So if we think about that continuum, that's where we're beginning to see this tipping point that you mentioned. Andre, anything to add on that?
One of the things, you know, when you think about tipping point for a revolution, one side of that equation is need and the other side is acceptance. And I think one of the things that's happening in the industry today is with the consumerization of AI, it's driving acceptance. When you think about autopilot cars, when you think about AI-assisted search engines, the integration of your digital assistant on your phone and home automation, there are all these many ways that AI is already sort of leaking itself into everyday life. And as that happens, people start to drive the acceptance of AI. They start to understand that it's not this frightening technology, but that it does have applications that are useful in the right context. So I think between the demand that's occurring where we need the technology to help drive the outcomes in healthcare and the acceptance of AI as a technology that can be applied to problems, I think together those things are creating that tipping point.
Yeah, Andre, such a great point. I really think that people are a lot more accepting of AI, you know, with Alexa and everything, than they would have been even 3 or 4 years ago. Now, Andre, let's get back to you. What are some things that we should be excited about here? And on the other side of the coin, what are some things about AI and healthcare that maybe should concern us?
A great question. You know, there's a lot to be excited about because AI can enhance the way that humans receive information. So taking AI and having it sort of scan through complex information and find insights can be really valuable. Chris mentioned, you know, the application of AI in digital imaging. And one of the projects that I worked on at General Electric was about helping physicians and radiologists see anomalies that were in these scans. And if you think about the job of a radiologist who has to go in and potentially look at thousands of images a day, they know what they're looking for, and they go in and they look for that specific cause. But there may be other anomalies that are there that they're just not looking for. And having AI come in and say, hey, while you're here, why don't you take a look over here, because there's something that might be interesting over there too. So I think those sorts of things to really enhance the way that people work are really exciting. I think one of the challenges that comes with AI is AI is different than sort of traditional computer programming, where you have sort of if-then logic. If this condition exists, then go do this thing. With AI, it's a learning model. So it's constantly learning, and it's making decisions off of what it's learning. And to be able to have the insight to understand why it made the decision that it made is difficult, because it might be looking at hundreds or even thousands of factors that it's making their decisions on. And those factors may be different today than they were yesterday as it continues to learn and gather information. So providing the insights back to the people that are using AI that say, not only is this something interesting that you might want to take a look at, but here's why I think it's interesting, I think is going to be one of the challenges that we have to solve as technologists.
Yeah, just on the excitement level, where we're getting to is another definition of the term AI. And I'm going to use the term ambient intelligence, which is to say, when a patient walks into the room, what does the room hear? What does the room see? For example, does the room hear agitation in the voice through sensors and video of the patient? And is this agitation of the patient going to cause a poor outcome or a problem for the clinician? So what does the room see? What does the room hear? Even what does the room smell? Now, you may think, can sensors smell? Well, they actually can. And sometimes they can smell diabetes. Diabetes itself has a smell all of its own. And so when you think about the room being artificially intelligent, what do they see? What does the room smell? What does the room hear? That's very, very important to creating what's called a digital safety net for the clinician. So that allows the clinician to stop being a typist. My last annual exam, my favorite physician was so busy typing that I wasn't sure whether they were paying attention to what I was saying. She's a very quick typist, so I hope that she did. But the key there is to really allow physicians, clinicians, and administrators to stop being stenographers and to start really focusing on the patient. And when they do that with this digital safety net that I described, then not only will notes be taken for them and observations be taken for them, but they can actually focus on the patient at hand. So that's the thing that I get most excited about.
Absolutely. It's so important to let clinicians operate at the top of their license. Now, Chris, the healthcare system, of course, has a great big resource crisis, and it's being stretched to capacity. So how can AI help with that now? And how can it maybe help in the future?
it is a crisis, especially a crisis coming out of the pandemic, when about 25 to 30% turnover is actually happening at the front offices and the back offices of many clinics. So what this causes is the rules of engagement of, let's say, an intake organization and how they would intake a patient get lost in the transition and the turnover. And so one thing to look at is how can computers and artificial intelligence really structure a decision for the human to make the best decision that they can? For example, a patient's inbound, do we have a bed? Well, whereas a human may have actually gone and looked for a bed, now we can import the data to see, is there a bed? Is that bed staffed? So it does no good to put a patient in a bed if there's no nurse or doctor available. So is there a staffed bed? Should we accept this patient? And then what do we know about the patient who's inbound? All of these things can be prepared by using AI and strong data integration and interoperability, and prepare the decision for somebody to look at all of the information and say, yes, accept this patient because we can treat them and outcomes will be best. So when I think about how to help a staffing crunch, we can do it with AI, with strong decision support and clinical decision support. And we have to work from the human backwards into the data. So what is the human great at? What decisions do they need to make? And then how the computers and AI, how can they help?
Oh, I totally agree and totally echo the same example that you mentioned about working with your physician. And my physician told me how, as technology has grown, that they actually have less time to spend with their patients, and they really have to start multitasking between data entry and really thinking about the problem that the patient is bringing to the table. So I think that's a fantastic example. I see, you know, as we move into the future, these opportunities just continuing to increase because the demand on healthcare workers is going to continue to go up. The workflows get increasingly more complex. But also, as technology continues to evolve with all of these smart devices, you have more and more facilities and capabilities, whether it's equipment in the room, as you mentioned before, or other types of equipment that you're working with that have their own intelligence, you know, can be built into those. And so the ways that humans interact with that intelligence, I think, is and the number of things that are becoming intelligent is just really growing. The advent of natural language processing and the way that we communicate with these devices is really changing too. The ways that still a lot is done today with data entry into machines, but things like the consumerization around these products is adding voice as a great interface. Things that are evolving around augmented reality are ways that you can start to bring new information to physicians where they can keep their hands on their job and still get this influx of information. They don't have to stop and move over and type somewhere. So I think as these types of technologies continue to evolve and the ways that people interact with machines and the ways that machines continue to expand their ability to interact with humans, I think that's really going to continue to propel it in the future.
Absolutely. And that's such a fascinating idea, the idea of the ambient intelligence of a room kind of helping to pick up cues and funnel those back to the clinician. So Andre, with that in mind, why is the transformation of clinical notes such a big opportunity for structuring unstructured data using AI?
A great question. When you think about, you know, again, the job that you have as a physician, and as I mentioned, I had a physician who told me that his capacity to see patients was decreasing as technology was accelerating. And you think about that situation where your doctor's about to go in and see you as a patient. You may have history, years of histories in your healthcare record, or you might have a chronic disease, which creates immense volumes of information. And your doctor has that job of trying to peruse, you know, maybe 100 pages of data to figure out what's important in this context. As I walk into this room, what do I need to know about this patient to properly treat them? That ability to sort of scan and read through that document and find those things is very challenging. But if we can apply AI to that problem, and we can have AI which can scan a document in a matter of seconds, and it can find those things that are not just important, but they're important in this specific context, then we can bring that physician the data that they need at the point of time that they need it. And that can allow them to see more patients, do more things, because they're going to spend less time just trying to find what's important, and they can spend more time acting on the information that's pertinent.
Yeah, Andre, I want to just touch on something that you said, because it's very important. You said, can they get the right information at the time that they need it? And this is something that we focus a lot at Concord about, which is how quickly we can get through this clinical notes. Every time a clinical note travels from one clinic to another, that's a patient, and that's a patient traveling. And so many times that patient is in the waiting room, that patient is in the car headed to the clinic. And so as that patient travels, so does that clinical note. And being able to find, and I'll just say rip through the clinical note in seconds to sub-seconds, allows us to create conclusions from an AI standpoint within minutes, not hours. And when you have a clinical note that may be 200 pages long, not unusual for somebody who's been in the health system for a few years, do we really want the clinician to have to read 200 pages before they can see that patient? No. Yeah, we want to turn AI loose on it. So at any rate, they being able to pull down through a 100, 200, 300 page clinical note is a problem tailor-made for artificial intelligence.
Absolutely. It'd be great to be able to just go through all that text and condense those insights quickly for the clinician. So Chris, say I'm a CIO of a healthcare facility. When do you think I should invest in this kind of technology?
Yeah, thank you. There's two types of reasons to invest. There's to invest to learn. So you want to take a quick little project to learn a little bit about it. And then there's invest because we have a real problem and we need to solve a real problem in our clinic. And I think now you can choose the toe in the water approach or you can jump in. I would just say that a technology like artificial intelligence and a vendor, somebody like Concord Technologies, needs to be stable and resilient. It doesn't matter how great an artificial intelligence technology is or a computer system is, if it's not up and available when you need it. And it might be in the middle of the night. It might be at the beginning of the day. It needs to be up and available. So if you trust it to be stable and resilient, that's a good time to invest in it. And then, of course, does it solve a broad class of problems for you? And I think that Andre and I have been talking here today about being able to solve a problem like intake, being able to solve a problem like reading clinical notes. And if you can solve big problems with it and share that cost among many other clinics, that's a good time to invest.
I totally agree that I think now is the time for people to minimally have their toe in the water or find partners to work with to investigate this technology. The need is clearly there, as we've been talking about throughout this session, is there's clear need to be able to accelerate the care that people get in healthcare. And these are technologies that can help us get there. But the technologies are complex. And with AI, you have the challenge that you're utilizing learning models to help you find insights and make decisions. And as we work through and we understand how those models learn and grow, and we make sure that they're giving us the right advice at the right time, there's a lot of trial and error that goes into that process and a lot of research that goes in to be able to do it correctly. And so when you think about the lead time that it takes to drive these solutions into market, it's something that we all have to be focused on today so that we can bring the right solutions to market at the time that they're going to be needed here in the future.
Fantastic. Well, Chris and Andre, thank you both so much for joining us today. And thank you for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And of course, special thanks to Concord Technologies for sponsoring this podcast. Have a fantastic rest of your day.